Well, I'm very lucky to be joined by another great guest on our Getting to Know podcast. It's literally a legend of the Welsh Premier League and the Cymru League systems. Mike Wilde, thank you very much for joining me and congratulations on your latest success. Another title, you must be delighted.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jay. Yeah, I'm over the moon, to be honest, to get it over the line and get it done and dusted. We wanted to probably do it on the pitch and let our talk and be done on the pitch. But sometimes under the circumstances, the right decision was made. And I only believe anyway we probably would have went on to probably gain a couple more points ahead of the four that we managed to finish ahead of second.
And you've been in the league for a long time, you know. Has there ever been a period as odd as this in your experience of football in terms of the way the last few months have been?
No, definitely not. I think it's definitely a time where people have to adapt massively. I mean, even down to day-to-day stuff in my own work as well. Football-wise, having to adapt sessions, have to constantly be interacting with other people. And then obviously on the pitch as well, from a playing aspect, it's been different. But sometimes these things throw themselves up and you've just got to deal with whatever comes of it. And yeah, we've just had to get over the line any means how, and we have done that.
And for yourself as well, I guess, you know, you've been in Europe year after year after year, either with Connors Quay or TNS or... This is probably the longest break you've had from football in 10 years, isn't it?
Yeah, I was actually just thinking about that the other day. I mean, probably from the amount of time I can remember, you know, especially with TNS, we generally finish the season or the cup final in the first week of May, and then it's normally June time, and you'd start again, and the similar proceedings were happening with Connors Quay, so. This is probably the longest period of time with not actually having a ball at my feet. Obviously, we're doing the right things to keep ticking over during this time, but you can't really replace that type of training. But it's also a good time to reflect on what's been. And yet, over the past probably 15 years, this is going to be the longest break that I've had.
And you've mentioned reflecting there. I mean, you're 36 now. You've had a lot of memories in the... I know you don't look it. you've had a lot of memories in the Welsh game. I mean, what are the highlights for you? I mean, what are the memories that sort of stand out when you look back on the career you've had?
It'd be... I think obviously, the title wins are at the forefront, but then... The reason probably why the draw of the Welsh Prem is so much for myself, and the reason why I come back after being over in the English system is ultimately because of the European football and them experiences. Some footballers, even in the English system, will never experience them. And I've been lucky on a hell of a lot of occasions now. I think it's going into maybe 50, 60 appearances in all European competitions. But obviously the highlight has got to be them signature ones, which were with Liverpool in 2005, obviously being my boyhood team and obviously running out at Anfield, it being the Champions League, them being just crowned champions only 4 weeks, I think, prior to we played them, and they were having to fight for it again in 2005. So that is the standout moment, but then also you've got Manchester City as well. That was with TNS in the Europa League, and I was only probably the age of 19. So massive, massive memories and big occasions, and one of the reasons why you get into football and you want to play. Obviously, these top professionals have them occasions week in and week out, and you know I've just been fortunate to sample it on several occasions, and then. Going into the Connors Quay experience as well, you know, Roger Dina, Kilmarnock, Starbeck, all them big European clubs that we had very, very good results against. It is a massive, massive occasion when you play European football, and it is what ultimately we're in it for. But then the byproduct of playing well over 9 months is obviously lifting that trophy as well. And I can even... you know, it's fresh in my mind with the League Cup win this year with Connors Keegan scoring and two, and then I go back again, and it's the Welsh Cup final of getting the first major trophy really for Connors Key. I think it's probably a given when you speak about it from TNS's point of view. We were expected to do it. We always were. That's not to say it was lessened in the achievements. It just means when you go on the pitch, you have a different mindset and a different mentality. It's almost not an arrogance, but the expectations on yourself. So you've got to make sure you get over that finishing line and score them goals and win them 3 points or win that cup. With Connors Key, it's more of a drive and incentive and something where you'd want to make sure you prove people wrong or you want to make sure that football club is gaining more momentum and experience and growth, really.
So if we go back to 2002, I think it was, when you first entered the Welsh system. I mean, if someone had come up to you then and said, Mike, listen, mate, you're going to play against Liverpool, Man City, you're going to knock Kilmarnock out of Europe and all this by the time, well, you're not finished yet, but by the time you get to 36, what would you have said?
Yeah, especially the Liverpool shout, you know, when you say the champions of Europe and you're going to play them. I mean, that's only what dreams are made out of. And I would have said that they were, you know, they were mental, but it happened and what a great experiences they were. And that's why the Welsh Premier League can do so much for an individual. And that was obviously the draw when after I went over back over to the English League and I came back. It has been really successful for myself, the amount of honours that I've just gained. But also, I think the stature of the league as well has grown with them titles, whether it be for Connors Key or whether it be for TNS. And the limelight has grown more and more on the Welsh League and probably doesn't get the recognition it deserves.
Take me back to the Liverpool experience then, because that must have been the most crazy month of your life in terms of being a Liverpool fan as well, you know, watching that final. Did you go to Istanbul or did you watch it at home? Or?
No, it's quite an interesting story, actually. So I obviously played the season before for TNS, and there was myself, there was Tommy Holmes, and obviously the manager at the time was Kenny McKenna. And we'd all booked Mexico. This was for our break in pre-season. And we didn't know we were going at the same time. And funnily enough, we were all in Mexico for the two-week period that Champions League final was on. So obviously, Kenny McKenna is a massive blue. We met up at a bar in Cancun. So there's me, Tommy, and obviously Kenny was there as well, a couple of other lads as well, locally from the Whittle area were there. And we're all watching the game, and obviously Liverpool were 3-0 down by half-time, and Kenny's got the biggest smile on his face, laughing and joking, and yeah, enjoying the moment. I'm crying into an empty pint glass, and obviously Tommy's a Liverpool fan as well, but it comes to fruition, obviously, that Liverpool went on to win that game. And then, albeit all three of us, later on, we realised that we were going to be involved in the biggest, you know, competition of our lives against the European champions. About a week later in Mexico as well, I was reading one of the papers that went with the line of Total Nutty Solutions. So back then, we were called, obviously it was called Total Network Solutions under Mike Harris, The pundit went with this story, and I think Mike came up with the concept of obviously trying to play this cup tie and the Champions League tie. So it was all over the back pages, you know, from the football club, from everything, and we're reading it live as it's just happened as well. So it was a really good experience, and yeah. Memories come flooding back when it was announced as well. When we realised that we had Liverpool, we were in a training session at Vauxhall Motors. We were training there, and I was injured at the time, and I'll never forget it. I think there was me, Martin Naylor, and a couple of other lads, and we were watching it live while the lads were training out onto the pitch, and the Sky reporters were there. because they were interested to see who TNS were going to get in the Champions League draw. And it's come out that Liverpool, and all of a sudden, we've all ran out onto the pitch and we're screaming at the lad saying, you know, it's us, we've got Liverpool, we drew Liverpool, as the training session's gone on. And then 20 minutes later, bearing in mind we were all meant to be injured, the injured lads were put their boots on, and we were all training again, doing doggies back and forth to try and get into the team for 3 weeks, 4 weeks time.
And to walk out at Anfield, I mean, what was that? Was there a particular moment of that, or the whole experience that was a highlight for you in terms of the game itself?
It's very difficult to kind of put your finger on a moment, because the whole experience for that week was a little bit of a blur. It was surreal. I mean, even now, standing in the tunnel, and we had obviously the lineup there of Sammy Hippier and Gerrard and Alonso and Morientes and Risa, Pepe Reina. And previous, the last time I was at Anfield before that, in the actual entrance before you go up to the pitch, was when I was mascot, and that must have been 15 years prior to that. So to go from the experience of being a mascot and walking out, and then actually being fully kitted up, ready to play against your team, it's a bizarre moment. And then from that minute on, nothing actually really felt real, and it went as quick as that. And I remember I couldn't actually physically look up because of the amount of fans that were in the stadium, and something that I'd never experienced. I think even when we played Man City, it wasn't a sellout, and obviously it wasn't Anfield with that type of atmosphere. So looking up to the cop, I think I'd done it once before kickoff, I found myself there on in, just focusing in on the football and my whereabouts, and pinching myself, because I think a lot of young lads have them visions of playing at such a iconic ground, and I'm thinking, you know, they have dreams of doing it, and it just actually felt like a dream. And then I'm lucky enough, I've got the video or the DVD to prove it was me, because sometimes I felt like it wasn't.
And did you make a beeline for anyone's shirt after the match?
Look, it's funny, it wasn't just after the match, I think it was before the match. I remember Steve Yebo going straight up to Gerrard, asking him before we even kicked the ball. I wasn't that eager, I actually waited a little bit longer, and then, I managed to get Carragher's, because he was the one, him and Hippier, because the system that we played, him and Hippier were the ones marking me, so because he was a scouser as well, and a local lad. I managed to get that as well after the second leg.
Given all the experiences that you had at TNS in that first spell, I mean, there wasn't much left for you, you know, that you hadn't achieved. Was it natural for you to go back into the English game, or what was the thinking behind that?
I'm constantly challenging myself even now, and I make sure that I move on to other challenges. I mean, I'm a full believer of making sure you don't become stagnant. I'm making sure that you're striving to get the best out of yourself. So I think by that point, I mean, I was ready to try and develop myself and try and challenge myself into the English system. And I was lucky enough to gain the opportunity through Fleetwood and Mickey Mellon. Bearing in mind, I know the transition from Welsh League to English League can be difficult. They tried to make that seamless because they were going very much in a direction where a football club was gaining momentum and they were going to go full-time, etc. And it was something that kind of like enticed me, and I thought, maybe this is the next step for me.
And in terms of the experience you had there, you know, you had success in your time back in the English game, you know, at Chester as well. When you came back to TNS then, what was the difference between the club, or was there any difference between the club when you'd left and when you'd come back?
Yeah, I mean, when I was in the English leagues, it was very successful, and it was something, you know, promotions with Fleetwood going into going into the conference, back-to-back promotions with Chester, Halifax, even went on loan to Halifax as well and sampled that. Great experience for me. And it developed me even more as a player. I probably found out a lot more about myself and them 4 or 3 years when I was constantly challenging myself, only because there was some type of need of players always challenge yourself for the places, for your place. It was very competitive. So going back into the Welsh system, I had to think of another challenge and why I wanted to do it as well. Apart from when Craig and Mike contacted me and seeing if I was up for the challenge, they wanted to be dominant over the next 10 years. I mean, that was something that really appealed to me. They wanted to push on in Europe as well. So instead of Wales previously, we, you know, under Kenny and Andy Cale, we sampled Europe. Under Craig and what Mike wants to put forward, he was not sampling Europe. He wanted to go and ultimately say conquer Europe. He wanted to get into the group stages. I'm sure he does at the moment, but he wanted to get past qualifying stages. There was another objective. There was a new objective, and I wanted to be part of that. But along the way, he wanted to make sure they had the clean sweep of the whole league as well. You know, that was there, and he wanted me to be a massive part of that, and thought I could be the catalyst for that as well. So that was the big appeal. Obviously, full-time football was massive as well. I just finished all my qualifications from university, so I could fully absorb myself back into full-time football again. And it was something that I wanted to experience again, because there's something that you just can't beat about full-time football. You know, especially at that age, I think I was 27, 28, and I wanted to have the ability to have the right nutrition, the right lifestyle, breathe and live football again on a full-time basis. And that was the big attraction as well, going back. I mean, I think the club did ultimately kick on again. I think you see, you know, with Park Hall and that, and the facilities that they had to offer, that was all a big incentive. And obviously, I still knew a few of the players as well, which made would make the transition back a little bit more smoother as well.
And in terms of what you achieved at TNS in the round, I mean, obviously the group stage has never quite happened, but you did still have some very good experiences in Europe. And, you know, had you been a bit lucky with a draw every now and then, I think you could have come a lot closer to it. But is there anything you didn't achieve there that you think? I mean, I'm not suggesting there is, but is there anything you look back on as a person who described as never wanting to be stagnant? You know, is there anything you look back on and you thought, well, maybe we could have done that, or are you happy with everything that was achieved there?
I think it would be very hard to top anything that. Possibly from a personal point of view, I think I won the Golden Boot once. I probably could have been more consistent with that, and that was probably my own goal. I was made up to win it the first year when I went back. A couple of little injury niggles possibly stopped me and prevented me from doing that. So that would have been one from a personal point of view. As a collective, as a club point of view, it would have been very hard to eclipse anything that we did. Going into the group stages was the pinnacle, and possibly setting your sights very high, which I don't mind doing. And then obviously as time goes on, then you reset your goals, and that's what we just have to do. But there's nothing really we can put our finger on and say we didn't, because the squad that we had back then, I believe, was very, very strong, and the depth of it was unbelievable. I mean, you can't, you know, just talk about the young lads coming through. They had really good, experienced lads, and it was a strong knit group as well. You know, we did dominate in them 4 years that I was back at TNS.
How do you deal with those expectations? Because you were expected to win everything, and you did, but that sounds really easy and all that, but it's not, is it? So how do you deal with the sort of the ins and outs of being a player at a club that are almost expected to win everything that they compete in?
Yeah, I think it's easier when you're all pulling in the right direction. So the fact that we had such a good squad and management team, etc., the expectation levels can be managed. I think where I struggled, if on reflection of my whole footballing career up to date, is sometimes when the expectation on yourself, especially when I went into the English leagues, I put a lot of expectation on myself. So when you over-expectate and when you over-challenge yourself again, like I was expecting to go through the English leagues thinking it was going to be quite an easy process when it wasn't, I think that's when you need to then look at the people around you. And that's one thing we did regular, you know, at TNS. And likewise, now where we are now with Connish Key, I mean, the lads around you will help that. And it's almost like a mental process and a psychological process where they will help you re-establish where you should be on that spectrum, really.
So you mentioned, obviously, needing a new challenge, and that's what led you to leave TNS the first time. Is that what led you to go to Connors Key?
Yeah, most definitely. And I think, as I say, not becoming stagnant and having some fresh challenges. I think that was a point at TNS where everything was done, everything was ticked. And the new challenge then was to probably get another football club within Wales that wanted to have the same ambitions as what I did, and I wanted to progress and push on and grow, really. And that's, despite having other options, going back over to England perhaps, or staying in Wales with another football club once I met Andy Morrison, and when the gaffer kind of started to speak to me about what his ideas were and how he seen the football club going in future, it was a little bit of a no-brainer for me. Not only did he sell the club well, but probably like his ambition to really stop the dominance of TNS, and ultimately that was probably the goal that I wanted to step, just making sure we're challenging them, making sure that we were chipping away at them, and we've managed to do that over the 4 years that we've been there.
And obviously, you've worked with Andy and Craig both as managers to yourself, and now they're on the same coaching staff, obviously. What are the similarities between the two of them, and are there similarities, are there differences? I mean, how do you compare the two?
I don't think there's a straight-off comparison. I mean, obviously, Craig was the manager at TNS. I think there was a little, which is obviously a different role to what he has to take on now at Connors Key, and probably going forward, and I'm sure Craig's well aware, will help his development as well, because he's got then a contrast of obviously being the assistant and being a manager as well. And I think as a manager at TNS, he was definitely the enforcer, the motivator, one who led the way for us. And then obviously now at Connors Key, he's looking at it from a more tactical aspect as well, and still gaining them knowledge while still having all them other attributes what he's got. I mean, obviously at Connors Key, Andy's the enforcer and the motivator, and he's the one that obviously inspires us to go on and challenge, and not just challenge on the pitch but off the pitch. You know, I think he was a great timing for me in my career as well. He's, you know, senior players, he gets the best out of them, and he definitely keeps challenging me on a weekly basis and making sure, not just physically but mentally, that we're in the right state of mind. But that's a two-way thing as well. I think he knew when he first met me when we signed back 4 years ago, I think he knew I was going to be that type of character anyway, because the love for football and me wanting to stay in the game for as long as possible, because I know there's going to be no other feeling to replace it, and I think he understands that as well. And the fact that, you know, I'll go above and beyond the means to keep playing because of the love of it, similar to what he would as well. So they are different. Going back to the original points, you know, Craig and Andy are two totally different characters, but, you know, they both fill the roles that they've been given very well at the moment.
And in terms of your first game for Connors Key, it was obviously in Europe. As a club that had gone the way they had that season and the season before, where they'd come from and where they'd ended up winning the playoffs and so on, did you sense that Europe meant maybe more to them than it had done at TNS? Because obviously at TNS you almost get used to it.
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, it is a TNS, it's a given. I mean, the whole structure is built on that. I should imagine you need Europe every single year. In fact, you know, Champions League should be every single year. Let's face it. But that's why I think when we went into the European competitions with Connors Key, did it feel a little bit more? Yeah, it did, because it was new to me being with another club in Europe and putting their almost name on the map, but also the lads around us as well, albeit there might have been a couple with a European experience, the majority were doing it for the first time. And it was good as well to experience that with new lads, it really was.
In terms of those early memories of Connors Quay and the experiences you had there, I mean, well, I spoke to you after you signed for them and you said, you know, we have our targets, we know what we want to do. Did you achieve everything you wanted to achieve early on, or did it take longer? Was it quicker? Was it just one of those processes?
It's hard to evaluate, really. I mean, I think me being a little bit narrow-minded, I was thinking in the first 2 years we would be able to really push TNS. I felt like we did push them, but to the extent that I wanted to, where it would go down to the last game of the season, if knew it wouldn't just happen overnight, but we had a very strong squad and we had experienced players in that squad. Jock made some really good signings. But then to probably wait another 2 years before we've managed to gain the title possibly was a little bit longer than I thought. But in the grand scheme of things, the dominance of TNS prior to that, it's actually a short period of time to knock somebody that's got the infrastructure like TNS have in place, has got the resources like TNS have in place. It's still a hell of an achievement. But from a player's point of view, I probably was narrow-minded about thinking it could have been a shorter period of time. But on the grand scheme of things, and you look at it from a footballing point of view, it's actually been achieved in a shorter space of time than possibly what was originally thought, if that makes sense without being too mixed about the answer.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because TNS is, in many ways, the house you helped build, you know, in a lot of ways. But then you found it harder to break down than you thought you would.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. I think it was always going to be. I think, you know, I remember the season that I left TNS. I remember looking at one stage that I was left out of the starting lineup, and I looked at the bench and then I looked up at the stand and there was two squads that could go and win that league that season. And then I remember in training sessions, 25, 26 players at TNS, all of them capable of being in the starting lineup. So then to go and think a year later, if I was to then leave, to be able to challenge them with a squad of 18 or 20 lads that have never been in that position before, probably was a little bit player-minded rather than doing it over a period of time. And I think that period of time of 4 years, lessons have been learned. And I think finally, we've got to the stage now where it's a really good balance and probably bodes well as well going forward now.
And, you know, you say those 4 years, they haven't been without their success. You know, you haven't won the title until now, but you've still had, you know, you've won trophies, you've come close to winning more than you have won, but, you know, it's been successful.
Massive success. You know, I can't actually, even if we didn't eclipse what we've done this year, as in, even if we didn't have won the Welsh Prem this year, the achievement rate of what we've done over 4 years cannot be underestimated by far, especially European competition. You know, over them 4 years, we must have more success in going through rounds than anybody else, I would have thought. I mean, getting the coefficiency points up has been extremely down to ourselves, I would have thought. So European success has been unbelievable. And then picking up silverware, you know, the club's first Welsh Cup, League Cup, so it's been phenomenal, and to be fair, it's probably something that, yeah, I didn't think would be as continuous. Maybe would have peaked one season and hit a cup, and then it was a downwards spiral. But it's been spike after spike.
Is there one memory or moment or game or piece of success that stands out from your time at Connors Quay? Or is it too hard to pick one?
It is very hard to pick one. Obviously, you go back to the Kilmarnock game. It was a big, big game. Collectively, we've done really well, you know, to go there to score two goals. I believe it's the biggest result in Welsh European history. You know, that obviously stands out. From a personal point of view, one thing that I needed ticking off, especially this season, that I hadn't done, was to score against TNS. I think that was always niggling at me as well, just to make sure that I've scored against every single club in the Welsh Prem and obviously the leagues below, etc. And that was one club that I hadn't. So this year I managed to score two on different fixtures. So from a selfish point of view, that was probably up there. But going back to the Kilmarnock, so this season's been really pivotal as well on so many levels. But you can break the achievements down onto so many levels. But from a holistic point of view, the whole 4 years been really, really good. And I've enjoyed every single week.
And I've got to ask you about this because it's obviously hot off the press. Aaron's joining you on D-side. I think he's the same age as you were when you joined, actually. I think he's 32 now. What does that mean for Connors Key to sign, in my opinion, probably the best player, or certainly one of the best players in the Welsh Premier League over the last 10 years? What sort of a statement is that by your club?
Yeah, it's a massive statement, and you know what, it's a real good signing. You know, you don't need me to tell anybody that. You know, he's probably done more talking on the pitch than ever, especially against us over the previous seasons. I think he's probably scored, I think probably five or six goals in the past 4 years since I've been at Connors Key in the fixture against Connors Key BTNS. So not just on the back of that though, you've got a lad who's worth ethic is very, very high. He's a winner. He's probably similar to the mould of myself at the time, like you've just suggested, of coming out of TNS. So he'll have a lot to prove. But I think what a lot of people don't realise with Hazard as well is his technical ability as well. I mean, I remember when I first went back to TNS, I thought, you know, Hazard worked on his game so much and it's come on over the past two or three seasons. And, you know, he has been probably the most dominant midfielder over the past 10 years as well in the Welsh Prem. To have somebody that now within our ranks is going to be obviously a real bonus for us.
And I mean, not to sort of put a rival with you, because obviously you've been in the league for many years as well, but he's got to be up there as one of the best players that ever played in this league, hasn't he?
Yeah, 100%. Even just to see his development as well, I mean, it wasn't just all straight away plain sailing, I don't think, with Hazard. I mean, it has been a gradual thing, because obviously being one of his teammates, you can actually see it. And I remember he got, you know, so for instance, I think he was one of the deep-lying midfielders first and foremost at TNS, you know, which was, you'd class him as a very good just box-to-box player, gets about, gets in your face, breaks things up. And he's changed his game totally as well. He's played in a number 10 position. He's added goals to his game, passing range now. And his technical ability, as I said before, is second to none now.
And in terms of, I mean, this season, you said earlier, maybe you would have expected, as a player, being narrow-minded, as you put it, to have won the league earlier. You've done it now. I mean, was there a moment in this season where you thought, do you know what, this year might be the year?
Yeah, I think it was. And it's funny, I think it was the game that we actually got beat, and it was against TNS, and it was at Park Hall. Now, we normally go to Park Hall with a little bit of anticipation, you know, a little bit of concern. I wouldn't say worry, because you're always obviously geared up and motivated for the matches, but there's also sometimes in your head, you know how good TNS previously have been at Park Hall, on their surface, with their type of players. You know that you're going to be in for the game. Now, we certainly were in for the game that night. It was, we only got beat 2-1, and I think we went 1-0 up. Now, we just, that game, we outplayed, we outran, and I think we deserved the 3 points, bare minimum of points out of the game. It wasn't to be. Sometimes football's not like that. But it was afterwards, when we were sitting in the changing rooms, and collectively, we realised that, I wouldn't say fear factor, because we've never had a fear factor over anybody, with anybody, but almost like we've got what we need. What we've got in this changing room is what's needed to then kick on. And we did. We kicked on. We won a cup, which helped momentum as well. And we were on a really good roll. We knew how to get results. We knew that wasn't ever a concern. It was making sure that we were getting the wins. And that's what we added this year as well, albeit we still probably should have done a little bit better with some of our draws and turned them into wins. But then looking forward, now that's something that we can now do going forward for next year.
And a bit of inside information for our listeners here, I guess. When I interviewed Craig Harrison for this podcast about a year ago now, we did it in the manager's office, I guess you'd call it, at the Nomads. And on the wall there is all the running stats and miles covered and so on. And I was looking at them all, and you were in the top three, I reckon, for every single one. I mean, you are 36. I'm not saying you don't look after yourself, and you obviously do, and you take great care of your body and your nutrition and so on. But how do you continue to keep that level of fitness that's needed, with all due respect, at your age, to be able to compete with these young guys and make them realise how good you are?
I still think it's a mindset. Most definitely, it's a psychological ability to be able to just make sure that you're constantly challenging yourself. And you know, if, for instance, you feel like you deserve a little bit of a rest just because maybe you've scored a goal at the weekend and you've won and you've got the 3 points, it's actually then just making sure that you don't trick your mind and into you've done enough. And I'm a firm believer in making sure that you go the extra mile and you reap the rewards. And until that desire and the hunger isn't in my forefront of my mind, that's when I'll start questioning myself. But as you said, I mean, I'm not going to say you find it easier as it goes on. It's quite the opposite. You know, probably when I was 25, then miles probably would have felt, the miles that you would have seen pinned up on the wall probably would have felt a little bit easier to do. But still, it's the excitement and enjoyment of people actually questioning as well. So I enjoy it when people say, yeah, you know, tell me my age and tell me, you know, how long, and always ask me how long you got left. And that actually incentivizes me to actually go on and kick on. And I'm a big believer in proving people wrong and challenging myself. And I'm going to continue to do that for as long as I possibly can until I get that tap on the shoulder. And somebody, you know, I've asked Craig a couple of times now to tap me on the shoulder and say, no, that's it, come on now. So, I mean, it might be a week or two away. You just never know what's around the corner. But hopefully with the way I like to think and my thought process, I'd like to think there's still a couple of, more than a couple of seasons where I'm more capable of making sure I'm scoring, but ultimately making sure I'm doing the right thing for the team.
And next season, whenever it begins, whenever it happens, given the current situation and so on, is that Champions League with Connors Keeve trying to retain the title and so on, is that going to be your most challenging season yet, do you think?
Yeah, definitely is. I mean, we talked about like expectations and goal setting, and straight away, as soon as you've said that, the Champions League, and you said retaining title, you get the feeling straight away. So you know that you can go again. You know that you've got another objective. You know you're challenging yourself. And that's not becoming static. That's something now more than, you know, to achieve, to go on. So, yeah, that's obviously now starting to, and it's funny, it's starting to play in your mind now about retaining, but straight away, soon as I got told about us winning the league, I was thinking about it. I was thinking straight away, what a great accomplishment it would be if then you go again and you retain it. With Connors Keeve, that's something that hasn't been done. So, yeah, you're always looking to set them history points there, and, you know, and the history books.
And my final question is not how long you have left. I won't ask you that because, you know, you'll know when you're ready. What's left to achieve, really? What's left for Mike Wilde to achieve in football?
There's still lots. There's still loads of goals to set myself, which I've already set. I mean, quite literally goals to set. I'm hunting down the 200 mark now as well of Welsh Prem goals. That's certainly something that's in the forefront of my mind. And the sooner I get that done, the better. So that's a personal challenge. Then there's team challenges, what we've just talked about, which is going to be retaining titles with Connors Key, Champions League experiences, which I'm looking forward to. And then who knows what the future holds then. And then you're going to have to start thinking about other challenges then. I mean, at the moment, lying fourth, I think, in the all-time top goal-scoring charts. You know, can you get to your third? Can you make sure no one catches you? I probably could do with taking some penalties if that's going to happen as well. But then after my last couple, I think the lads will probably not want to see that happen. There's always challenges. It's just making sure you set them at the right type of expectation levels.
Well, look, I've really enjoyed this. I was really keen to have a chat, and I'm really glad that we've been able to do it. Congratulations once again on your success this year, but not just this year. The career you've had has been absolutely amazing. You know, you've made many moments that have made a lot of fans in Welsh football sit up and go, wow, that Scouser can play football, can he? And yeah, good luck wrestling penalty duties off Callum to help that goal tally of yours. I wish you luck with that one. I don't think he's ever missed a penalty when I've seen him play.
And the more frightening thing is, I don't think I've ever scored one, so I don't think that's going to happen.
Listen, thank you very much again. Stay safe, look after yourself and look after your family, and whenever this is over, I'm sure I'll see you on D-side and we'll have a good chat.
Definitely, take care. Thanks very much.